It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mask.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
All right, as promised, right to the phones. Here's Frank in New Jersey on that Alex Cora decision last night. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, guys. I want to talk about Cora. So when Cora was first hired, Maz, you were the one that said you preferred to hire an experienced manager, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was one.
I was big on that front.
Yeah, I wasn't totally anti-Cora, but to me, the Red Sox should be able to get a premium manager.
Okay, so I'm in total agreement with that. I felt that way at the time that, yeah, Cora's a pretty good hire. I think if you're looking long-term, he should be a solid, good, big league manager. But I want an experienced manager. So
me too.
With this team, I look at everything long-term because the success of this season is based on World Series or bust. They have to, at the very least, go deep in the ALCS. But this is basically a World Series or bust because of the window that they have of 2, say 3 years, whatever it may be. So with the manager position, again, I like Alex Cora overall, don't like everything. But last night is a night, and there's been others, where I think to myself, you get into the big games down the stretch. You get into the postseason.
Yes, Frank, let me just finish it for you. Can he do it? Does he have the chops in that setting?
Legit question.
You know, but if you face the Yankees in the ALCS, it's going to be the same thing.
Yep, they have the same question, too.
Who's going to crap their pants first? And I have the same. I love you more criticism at the Yankees than you. I just can't believe these jobs are going to first-time guys. At least your guy sat on a Major League bench last year and won a World Series. Aaron Boone had coach T-ball, which I just think is insane. So, you know, if you face Cleveland, you'll have a disadvantage. If you face Houston, you'll have a disadvantage. I don't even know what they got in Seattle right now. Who's their manager? I don't even know.
It's, what's his name? Service, right? Scott Service?
So, I mean, I can't even tell you. That sounds like a first-year guy to me. But if it's you and Boone, like, oh, and if I'm a Yankee fan, I'm feeling the exact same way. What's this guy going to do here?
So, to me, you know, maybe it's mitigated because of those, you know, because of the Boone situation in New York. Seattle and Cleveland, shouldn't they beat those teams anyway based
yes,
on talent?
Yes, of course.
Right? In other words, the manager shouldn't be the deciding factor there.
But I'll tell you, if Cleveland has any chance against you, Francona is one of those reasons.
Absolutely.
And I'll put it to you that way. Max in the car, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Tony Maz, what do you think it would take to get Zach Britton and Manny Machado? I think they need these two guys. I'm thinking maybe Rafael Devers and Jackie Bradley Jr. Bradley Jr.'s got to go. I mean, the guy is just awful. I can't believe he's back in the starting lineup tonight. He's just, he's awful.
Killing him.
Can we just forget Bradley in a scenario like that?
Would you trade Devers for Machado and Britton? Would you still do that?
Yeah, I would.
Because
yeah.
You said last week you would do it.
Yeah, I would. I would. Because I think those two guys maybe put you over the top. You add Machado and Britton, you win it. Now, look, you're giving up the future? You are. But what future do you have anyway? Your farm system sucks. So you might as well go all in with this group at this stage. That's what I mean. So I would do it.
Okay, but you understand that
they won't.
The end comes sooner if you make that trade, even if you win it all.
Sure. Yeah, it does. No question about it. It does. I still think you could be pretty good next year. Go get yourself another third baseman. You still have J.D. Martinez. You still get everybody else.
Sam in the car has a Patriots thought for us. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. I heard you talking, Bustin' Murray, a little bit about Tom having three opportunities within 2 minutes to either tie or win that game. And obviously he didn't do that. But how many mistakes did Mr. Smart Bill make every time that defense took the field? Every single time they were on there, every single play, he made a mistake when Butler was not on the field.
I'm just saying.
And he capitalized it. He capitalized it with that stupid attempt of a razzle-dazzle kick return, which really just, he could have had the ball at the 25-yard line, saved a few seconds on the clock.
Well, I don't think it wasn't a touchback, so they, I don't know if they would have gotten to the 25. But they did have a little forcocked little reverse that lost yardage that hurt them on the last drive. Not that Murray would know because he stormed out of the stadium. You right. Still haven't seen it, have you?
No.
You're unbelievable.
They started at the 9.
No one's pointing out that Brady was more responsible than the defense. No one would ever say that. I think the only point of that little exercise, that ball-busting exercise, is to say that, you know, there were some things on the other side of the ball, too, now. There were. I mean, Brady's completion percentage in that game, I was stunned to hear this when we looked it up the other day. It was like 50-something percent.
Yeah, it was low, yeah.
It was like, it was a volume output. Brady, yeah, he got to 500 yards. He should have. He threw it a billion times. Only completed it over just over half of them. Like, that wasn't a... Was that one of Brady's surgical games?
No.
I mean, I think his performances against Seattle and Atlanta were more memorable than that.
Absolutely. Even if they won the damn thing.
I still think the Seattle game was his, you know, to me, was his crowning achievement. Like, oh, the Atlanta thing, don't get me wrong, 28-3. But Seattle's defense then... That Seattle's defense was awesome. And to come back from, you know, 10 points down or whatever the hell the number was.
Yeah, it was 10 points in that fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter against that defense.
Let me just put it to you this way. As Bill has to hear over and over again, why'd you bench Butler? Why'd you bench Butler? Why'd you cost him the game? Why'd you cost him the game? Why'd you cost him the game, Bill? Every time he hears that, I know a little voice in his head said, we had the damn ball with under 3 minutes left, down 4, and Brady had the ball in his hand, 2nd and 2, and he fumbled. I know Bill thinks that way. Front side. Guy rushed right in his face. 2nd and 2. Could have easily spiked it, taken a sack, taken an incomplete.
Just throw it to James White. He was wide open.
Or did even found the guy, but even short of that. Just don't fumble. And we're in short yardage and we're on our way. Everyone would have taken down 4 with 3 minutes left and the ball in Brady's hands. Everyone would have taken that.
Not anymore.
I mean, again, 2nd and 2. 2nd and 2.
It's just to point out. That's all. Carl in Grafton. You're welcome, Bill. Go ahead, Carl.
Falco, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Wanted to talk to Maz about the Yankees and the Red Sox, whether or not they're going to be going down to the wire here, like for the rest of the year. Like, you know, the Yankees are finally up a game, but you know they come in here. The Red Sox are going through a tough stretch. What do you think about that? I'll hang up and hear what you guys have to say. Thanks.
Okay, there's Carl, the fast talker in Grafton.
So I think
like the old Micro Machines guy.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, and he mumbles a little, too, on top
of it. Holy moly.
So not only is he talking about everything mumbling.
Couldn't even understand what the hell he was asking about.
So, I do think the race in the American League East is going to be like this all year long. I don't think either one of these teams is going to pull away from the other one.
You know the Yanks are 3 up in the loss column?
Yes, they are. Yep. And they now only have 4 fewer games with the Red Sox as opposed to 6. Because they made up 2 of them on Monday. And I say that because, you know, instinctively a lot of people will say, well, yeah, it's 3, but they played 6 fewer games. It's down to 4. They're catching up. And so, look, it's 3 in the loss column. If they split those 4, the Yankees, the 4 extra games that they haven't played, they're still up 1 in the loss column, right? I mean, they're up that 1 game. I think it's going to be tight all year long. This is what it's going to be all year long.
And again, I'll just say it again. I don't think that that wild card thing should be the death knell that we treat it as, because while the division's competitive, the wild card's not. You're going to win the... If you're a wild card team, you're going to be a wild card team by like 12 games. It's not going to be close. So you will have all the time in the world to set up your pitching and to rest your bullpen and to set up Chris Sale for that wild card game, which will come against Seattle? Like, that should be a W. That should be an automatic W. Now, if you tell me your chances are less than the first round because Sale had to go in the wild card game, you're right. Granted. But I'm just talking about getting through the wild card round. It really shouldn't be that big of a deal when you have all that run up to it.
Okay, so what you're saying essentially is if on the final weekend of the season...
Not weekend. You should be able to tell. Be able to telegraph it out 2 weeks.
Okay, but let's say you're a game back of the Yankees going into the final weekend of the season. You're saying...
Hold Sale.
Okay.
Hold them out. hold him out. Hold him out and take your medicine and pitch him in the wild card game and get through that. That's something worth the, that we will discuss a crap ton, I'm sure, in September.
And they are, you know, they play the Yankees in the final weekend of the season at home.
They do, don't they?
Yep.
They play them twice in the final four series of the year.
So that's finally, like, you know, back in the 90s and early 2000s, be wild card or division, wild card in division, and it really didn't matter. You know, it did not matter one sniff. Now it sort of matters. Now you have a choice. Do you pitch Sale on that last weekend to win the division, or do you hold him for the wild card game because you should win it with him anyway?
I mean, again, the final four series of the year, at New York, at Cleveland, home Baltimore, New York. You get the Yankees twice in the final four series. You play them six times. You know, so it, there's a scenario there in which, you know, what if you're tied going into the final weekend? Do you pitch Sale or do you not pitch
exactly.
him?
Exactly.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You want to be ready day one of spring training. You know, day one of spring training, you kind of want to be like opening day. Try to pay attention to your body. You know, a big thing about today is I want to feel good tomorrow. You know, right now is the time that you can make sure that your body feels good and stuff like that. And you know, I feel like that's what a lot of guys do in spring training.
Love me, say that you love me. Don't boo me, please do not boo me. Love me, pretend that you love me. Need me, please Sox fans need me.
That's an oldie but goodie from Murray. See, I think he's evolved from that, Murray.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be loved now. Now he wants to be hated.
Now it's like, not just that, it's like martyr. He's just turned into this insufferable martyr. Oh, you think I'm pitching well? Nah, well, I ain't an all-star. You think I'm pitching well? Well, I'll just suck in October.
You think I'm soft? I'll stand out here and blow up my arm.
Right, I'd rather blow up my arm than come out now because of you folks. So I'd rather blow my arm out. No way. What about if they pick you for the All-Star game? Well, no, I'll just play Fortnite all night and make sure I'm not in the game. Like, just, he's turned this insufferable martyr. And this happened yesterday in Minnesota. It's not the worst of the David Price, but it's just sort of a little snippiness, and it's out of nowhere. It's just out of nowhere. It's the day before his start, so he makes himself available. Johnny Miller, we've heard before from WBZ, asked him a series of freaking softballs from, you've pitched well the last seven or eight. Are you feeling confident? How does your arm feel? How would you feel about making the All-Star game? Like, all nice questions setting him up to look good. And he can't help himself. So just play number one, Jimmy.
David, I'm going to talk about you and resurgence last seven, eight times out. You've been unhittable.
Just like we talked about after my last game. You know, it's the same question that was asked. Just better fastball command. Just commanding the baseball better, you know, just making better pitches with runners in scoring position. That was, you know, a big problem for me in the times that I struggled this year. Just runners in scoring position, gave up, you know, four two-out runs in Oakland that day. You know, all the runs were with two outs. Same thing, my third outing against Tampa, you know, back at home. That was you know, two run outs as well, so I've done a lot better with that.
How about your confidence level now?
When you asked me 5 days ago, you know, my confidence hasn't changed. You're two for two with the same questions right now. Two for two.
I don't know why he got snippy on those questions.
I'm not going to cut you right off. No, I hate getting these questions, the same question.
How about your confidence level now?
When you asked me 5 days ago, you know, my confidence hasn't changed. You're two for two with the same questions right now. Two for two.
Just as confident as I was 5 days ago, Johnny. Two for two. You're harsh in my mellow, bro.
He's just a pill.
He is. He's such a dink, isn't he?
All right, so...
But again, at least he gets a response, which is what he wants. He wants attention one way or the other.
So
keep going.
Is it attention or is it like, look at what you've done to me? You know, it's like...
Oh, it's that whole thing. His whole exchange. It sounds like, oh, is it such a chore? You got to answer the questions. Oh,
so boom. Here's one he's bitchy about. So I don't even know exactly what he's doing, just that he's doing something. Maybe you can tell me exactly what it is. Go ahead.
He's like fucking around.
Number two.
Does it feel like mid-June? Consider where your arm is, your body. Like, is it?
It feels like October 20th right now.
Yeah. Why is that?
You just asked me how it felt, and I said October 20th. So
it's like in terms of being tired.
Yeah, man. I'm 32. I'll be 33 in October. So it feels that way.
So I don't know what he's trying to do there. It's just something.
So you know, my initial response was. June. No, man, this feels like I've been through a whole season already. Like, you guys are a grind. It's been a grind. It feels like way later than it should. That was
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
So, that was my initial feeling, but the more you listen to the response, it was, boy, is that a stupid question. It feels like October 20th. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, like, let me just pick some random date.
So, right? That's what I thought.
It feels like January 7th,
right.
1978.
Exactly. Like, the more I think of it, because, again, he got on Johnny for the questions, so he just thinks the questions are stupid. You guys are stupid.
Stupid questions, going to get a stupid answer. No. How am I feeling? Feels like February 8th to me.
But they said, well, and then I'll be 33, so what, he's like, and I'm old and I suck in October. Like, is there something there? Because
maybe
he's playing the martyr.
Who knows? I mean, it is life. Life is a struggle for him.
Well,
it is. It's a burden. His talent's a burden.
Don't ask about the All-Star game either, because he gets pissy about that too.
How many pitchers do you think are capable of making the All-Star team?
Pitchers?
Yeah.
One.
So wait, stop. So I finally get what's good. Johnny asked him, how many pitchers in here do you think are capable of making the All-Star team? And he started. Well, you know, like, he looks across the room and goes, one. Two, and starts, like, I think that's what he was doing there.
Maybe one.
But he's just not on the list. Go ahead.
Pitchers?
Yeah.
One. Sale? I ain't going. I'm not an All-Star. Yeah, Craig. I mean, Craig's going to get his vote. I didn't vote for Craig because it's Craig Kimbrell. He's going to get his vote. So I voted for Joe and Barnes. I did vote for Craig, but Joe Barnes and Craig are the who I voted for, but Craig doesn't need votes. His name's going to get him in.
The way you're pitching, don't you think the manager will select you?
I feel like if he did, it would just be to get me to throw an extra inning. You know, that would be a pretty pro move on his part, but I'll come up with something. If I am an all-star, that I won't have to pitch. You know, I play a lot of Fortnite, you know, the night before, so I'll be down.
He is a child.
I ain't no all-star. I'm not going to the all-star game. Well, what if the manager picks you? I'll come up with something. I'll play a lot of Fortnite because you guys won't let me play Fortnite. Remember the Fortnite thing? Because that's a big deal, right? So I'll play Fortnite, so I'll be down. They'll shut me down.
No, because if I don't make it, I'm sticking it to you media people who think that I'm soft and I always want to play video games. That's what it's about, too.
So it's, either way, it's bad. So he obviously listens to everything that anyone's saying about him. So that's a shot at all of us that say you'd rather play video games than pitch, which I believe is the truth.
Exactly.
Or he really is.
I got the DTs, man. I'm shaking all the time. Look at these hands. I can't play my games anymore. I'm shaking.
So instead of being at the All-Star game, this is what it's going to sound like in the Price household.
Oh, yeah.
No, Jimmy, go ahead.
Oh, no, I got some more fresh material. Hold on. Hold on. Let me put my headset on here. Let's play. This is what it's going to be. I don't want to pitch instead. 87 kills for this pump shotty, bro. I'm surgical with this in my hands. Ain't no stopping me. Boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead. Yo, Mookie, this double pump strat was nerfed, bro. This sucks. Now my stats are going to go down. Hembry, bro. Come on, stop being a bushwookie, man. Sitting there hiding, sniping people off, that's weak sauce, fam. You're out here playing like a damn noob. Come on, get back into my... Go on, we're getting so many kills here. Sale! Yo, Sale, you're low on health, bro. Get over here so I can heal you real quick. Yeah, get a taste of this slurp juice, bro. Back to 100. Now let's get some kills. Boom. So much fun. So much better than pitching.
And doing your damn job, you child. Oh, my God. Can't stand him.
What a martyr. Seriously.
Look, I'm shaking. I can't sleep. Cold sweats at night. I just want to play Fortnite, man.
It's all because, so he is. He's the 8-year-old that you've taken the video game away from. And so now he's like, so the 8-year-old's like, well, you know, what do you care? I don't even, you don't even love me. Like, you know, what do you care? Yeah, no, yeah, fine, I'll do it. Yeah, no. You know, okay, you're fine. Yeah, all right. He's like a 12-year-old boy that you took the video game away from.
Oh, totally. Look, the guy's a child. I'm sorry, I can't get Murray's price out of my head off that answer.
No, now I'm up to 99 kills with this pump shotty, bro. I'm surgical with this bitch. What? You want me to pitch? No. Boom. Chick-chick. It's so much fun.
Oh, God.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it's so good. That is so, so good.
So he goes again tonight.
That's it. That's exactly what it sounds like. It's so good, Murray.
Are your kids on this? They must be.
Oh, my gosh. Totally. Yeah. It's totally what it sounds like. Perfect.
And then when you take it away, are they pouting?
Oh, they go bananas. Of course they go bananas. You know, the whole you don't love me thing, you don't even care.
No, yeah, yeah. That's what David Price is doing.
And you know my answer
is? I know, All-Star.
Right, and my answers to my kids are, no, that's right, I don't.
Don't you understand? The World Health Organization just acknowledged this is a disease if you take this away. I'm addicted to these games.
You're right, I don't care. Just pitch. Shut up. Shut up and pitch. Really, that's what it comes down to. He drives me bananas. The guy is so free. He is. Murray, I say the same thing to you I said the last time this happened, which was after you get hit by the line drive. Like, dude, what is your problem? To David Price, I would really say, what's your problem?
Right. The media, it's not like the media is harping on him. I mean, like, we are today because he gave us that little, just a little bit of material. But the questions were just to set him up to look good. You're pitching well. How's your confidence? You're going to be an all-star. How does your arm feel? And he just can't.
You're
going to doubt me anyway.
Look, it's almost like standard operating procedure, right? You go to the pitcher the day before he pitches. You ask him some questions.
Yes.
So that if you work for a newspaper, I know that's an old way of thinking, but you can't talk to the guy on the day of the game before the game.
They were just all positive setup questions.
It's standard crap.
Standard.
What's his problem?
All right, we discuss.
You,
I promise.
Right, you're my problem.
Right back to your phones after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Shield top. I got you, Benny. You're no match for my skills, bro. I got 43 kills with this hand cannon, bro. I'm lethal with this Desert Eagle. Ain't no stopping me when I got this bitch.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For the Spurs, the most appealing potential package out there is Boston. Hmm. All the draft picks they have going forward, you know, and then a Jaylen Brown, a Jason Tatum. They're going to have a really hard time getting Jason Tatum out of Boston. I think he's made himself pretty close to untouchable. But Brown would be likely in any package. But here's what other teams want to know. If we trade for Kawhi Leonard, do we have a chance to re-sign him? Boston doesn't have to take risks. They don't have to give up assets on the hope of signing. They can just stand pat and be really good and wait for another big player to become available. And so what I'm told will happen here is that Kawhi will make it clear to teams if he hasn't started to do already through third party. I'm going to be in LA in 2019, so you can trade for me, but I'm going to be a rental.
And then there's Woj on the Kawhi Leonard situation. Drafts tomorrow night, so 24 hours from now. See if the fur flies there in the NBA and if the Celts are involved with anything. They can get Kawhi Leonard if they want. Snap of the fingers, they could. They could. Are they going to be in on that? And again, are they trying to move up the draft board? Jimmy Stewart gave this to you yesterday. Jimmy Stewart said that it was his belief the Celtics were trying to get up into the top six for Luka Doncic, the Euro player who's, you know, projected to go anywhere from 2 to 6. Is that fair? Somewhere in that range?
2 to 6, yeah.
And so Jimmy said the Celts, that's the guy the Celts want, and they're trying to get all the way up from 27 to the top six to get him. Ryan Russillo at ESPN tweeted out something today that was pretty similar, that he's heard, you know, two teams looking to move up. It's the Celtics and the Clippers. So let's see. The thing with Doncic, and again, I don't know Luka Doncic from Luka Brasi, like I've been saying. Like, I have no idea. But I find it intriguing that Danny really likes him, and I think Danny's on a roll at the draft. And I am all for them. It just feels like common sense to me that if they don't like next year's draft, to take that Sacramento pick from next year and use it to move up this year.
Sure.
Fine with me. And I have no particular affinity or attachment to Terry Rozier or Marcus Morris. And that's sort of like thought to be the package to get up there. That's Rozier, Morris, and, you know, every pick that you have that the team would want. your first, the Sacramento first. You have a Memphis protected first. You've got a Clippers protected first. You got all these. You have, I think, 4 first-round picks next year. Is that right?
That sounds right. Potentially, if everything conveys the way and it hits all the parameters, you could have 4 picks.
I think you have 4 next year. So take them all. Take them all next year to move up this year to get the one guy that you want. I'm all for it. No problem.
No, and I think it is 4. I think that's right. Yeah, because they have the Clippers and the... never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, Memphis. We've got Clippers, Memphis, them, and Sacramento. So, like, there you go. Like, take them. You can have them for this one guy, because I'm sort of like... I'm sort of intrigued about riding Danny's hot hand. And I keep phrasing this as Danny's hot hand because, like, I think Danny gets a little overrated. Like, everything he does turns to gold. I mean, he's had a lot of misses at the draft like everybody else. It's a hard business, right? That's a hard thing to do. And Danny has good years, bad years. He goes hot and cold at the draft. I just think the last couple, he's on a roll.
Well, look, up until a little while ago, we were asking the question, who's his best ever draft pick? And Avery Bradley was in the discussion.
Exactly.
You know, so, it was Bradley, like Al Jefferson. Like, there weren't many options in there. Rondo.
But Rozier, Smart, Brown, Tatum. You look at those draft classes, there's not many guys taken after those guys that he missed that, you know, that you would take over so-and-so. Like, didn't we, if we, Terry Rozier's year, if we drafted it, wouldn't he be like a top 3 pick?
Yeah, he would have
been like
the
fifth pick, fifth or sixth pick.
You know, Marcus Smart is like, you know, I know frustrating and can be underwhelming at times, but. Tell me how many players drafted after him you would take over Marcus Smart. There's not many.
No, listen, Smart has value. Again, it's a, you know, he's not a scorer and a lead offensive player, but he's got value. It would be dumb to dump on that.
So Brown feels like a hit that's getting better, and Jaylen Brown, or the Jason Tatum thing, is a grand slam home run. So ride the hot hand, take this Luka Doncic, trade it all to move up. Fine, sounds great. I'm in. No problem.
So I would move up too, and I think they are probably trying to. I just question whether or not they really have the artillery to do it. I mean, if you had the number one pick, let's say you had the number 5 pick, would you trade this year's number 5 for that whole collect?
No.
Me neither.
No, no shot.
Me neither, because it's a known commodity. Those 4 picks next year could end up to be nothing. They could be nothing. And so I look at it and say, no thanks, I'm going to keep the number 5. So the 5 this year is Orlando. Like, no.
But that's sort of the target. They need a point guard, and they're stupid. So that's just the kind of team Danny feasts on.
Oh, yeah, no.
You can have Terry Rozier and 4 first-rounders. Huh?
No, you totally prey on the stupidity of others. And Ainge is good at it. But it takes real massive stupidity to make that trade. Okay, you get the number 5 pick in a draft like this one that has, you know, big men at the top of it, and you're going to trade it for 4 maybes next year? No way, not a million years.
Your phone's the rest of the way. You want to sneak in? We got 10 minutes to do it. 617-779-0985. Anthony in Medford on Alex Cora. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, any knucklehead can manage the Sox during the season. Look at John Farrell, had no clue what they wanted to. World Series, 97 games. But last night, that was crazy. Come on, Robbie Scott puts him in there. You all talked about everybody was available for the Bonds. And then common sense, Jackie Bradley is hitting, what, 179 after last night? He doesn't pitch hit for him? He's a people-pleasing manager, man. What is the matter with him?
Okay, so, well, they're sticking with Jackie, which the former guy did, which I feel like is as organizational as anything. Like, if Dave Dombrowski went down to Alex and said, Alex, we can send Jackie Bradley down. We think he still has options, actually. I mean, the whole organization could step in on that one.
Oh, sure they could.
And I think the whole organization decides, no, we're going to ride it out with him. We're second in the league in runs or whatever it is. We're the second best record in baseball, the best record in baseball. He's not hurting us, so wait it out.
Right, we'll carry him, and hopefully we can get him going.
So I think that's an organizational decision. The one that frustrates me is Ruzny Castillo. You know, finally, after all these years and all that money, and we felt like it was a wasted move, he's still down in Pawtucket, he's still hitting, and if it weren't for that luxury tax and the money issue, he's here, and you're giving him a crack and seeing what you got.
Like, he'd have gotten a shot by now.
That's one that frustrates me.
Yeah, he'd have gotten a shot by now. And again, the fact that they don't option out Bradley and they continue to ride with him, Castillo's part of the story. The other part of the story is there isn't anyone else other than Castillo, and they don't consider him an option because of the luxury tax, where also they got no other choices. It really is. I mean, you know, now look, if it were me, Holt in left field, Swihart in left field, move Benintendi over, put Bradley in for defense late. That's how I do it, because I think he's useless offensively.
Sam and Newton, your thoughts here.
Okay, so I was thinking, like, we're trying to use Robbie Scott last night because he's a lefty, and we've been using Pointer because he's a lefty. We have no lefties, and so of course trying to get a lefty working, right? And Jackie, all we're seeing on this Instagram, wherever you look.
Sam.
It's, oh, wow, he threw 103 rounds.
Sam!
Yeah.
Hold it like a pizza. Try it again.
No,
don't eat it like a
slice.
Yeah,
don't eat it, and don't. Yeah, I think you turn it crust side to your mouth, and the point. You know,
that's a guy that folds.
But the point
is to fold the slice.
No, that's a guy who eats pizza backwards. Yeah. That's what that is. That's not a guy who folds. The guy who folds would still have the point in the right place, Murray.
Yeah, I start crust first.
Yeah, this guy either turns the pizza sideways and bites it from the side, or eats the crust first. That's what he does. Seriously. Wow, we got to explain that one now? Eat it like a slice of pizza, but the pointy end goes in your mouth first? Like, you got to explain that, too?
The mic end of the phone caller to your lips. Okay? Not, you don't point it out. You point it to your mouth.
Holy crap! Like, we got to explain that?
Eric and Revere, hi. What do you got?
Oh, you guys are killing it today. You're cracking me up. But anyway, I want Anthony on this one. I'm not impressed with Sale. I think he's the Tuukka Rask of this team.
Ooh.
He never shows up, Chris Sale.
Yeah, no. I didn't say who. I said who.
He can't beat Houston. He can't beat the Yankees. He can't beat a good lineup. Any lineup, he's not there.
Okay, so, regular season-wise, Chris Sale feels absolutely impeccable to me. I can't give you one complaint about Chris Sale regular season. I don't know. If we looked up his splits against winning teams or blah, 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 maybe...
Murray knows.
What is it?
Off the top of your head, what was that stat, Murray? When he pitches against winning teams, his record is way, like, under 500?
Huh?
Sale, remember that? Yeah. Maybe you looked up that stat?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Well, I'm not asking you to give it to me literally.
Do you know how many brain cells he has left to work with? not enough to recall something like that.
Clearly. Yeah. So, look, I can...
Dance, monkey, do the voice.
Google it.
I got no issue with Sale overall. I don't. I'm just telling you that.
No, regular season.
I called this last night. I called it last night. Before we signed off on the baseball reporters, I said, let me tell you right now, don't call me and bitch about the fact that Sale didn't get run support. He's going against Jose Berríos. He's going to have a tough game. His job is to beat the other good pitchers. That's the whole point. Anybody can beat the bums at the end of a rotation. Like, I don't need Chris Sale to beat the bums at the end of a rotation. I need him to beat the good pitchers.
Right. I'm not getting at him for
Why
last
are you
night.
Yelling at me?
Exactly. I didn't do anything. I'd say what Chris Sale lacks is those transformative signature postseason performances.
Sure.
Okay? And most of it's not his fault. He played on a suckbag team. So, but there's going to come a point here where you're going to say, well, he hasn't won the big one. He's got to win the big one. And so that's where I would go with Chris Sale. Like, I haven't seen him do that thing in the postseason. Maybe it's just coming. He's so damn talented. Feels like he's tough enough, like all that. It should happen, but it just hasn't yet. So that would be your one reservation.
Oh, yeah, just real quick, I found the numbers, Maz. This was after the loss to Houston some weeks ago. So here he was at that point, beginning of June.
Heel.
Against 500 teams, 500 or better, including playoffs, 18 starts, 106 innings, a 5-9 record with an earned run average of 4.58.
Hmm.
Now, versus teams 500 or below, 29 starts, 199 innings, record of 17-4, earned run average 2.31.
So there you go.
There you go. Good job, Murray. Now roll over and play dead.
Yeah. In my mind's eye, he's not a guy that just cleans up on bad competition in the regular season, but maybe I just have ignored it. The numbers say otherwise. It's a postseason thing with him. The whole team, the whole staff. None of these guys have had those postseason moments.
Agreed.
The whole team needs it. Did something happen today with Jack Nicholson? Mike and Wubin, why are you calling me on Jack Nicholson?
Phil Mickelson.
Oh, Phil Mickelson, Matt in Framingham back there. Phil Mickelson and his apology. Go ahead, Michael.
Can you believe that he had to issue a heartfelt apology?
Why did he have to?
Because he did that little goofy thing where
No. I know what he did, but why did someone demand an apology or something?
I think that there was the golf police put pressure on him to. Honestly, Mike, is there anything worse than the stodgy, self-righteous golf police?
Oh, it's pretty bad.
Oh, it's so bad. And this is like he was like completely out of it. He was out of it by like a million strokes. The course sucked. Everybody hated the course the way it was laid out. He did something that you and I would do on 17 when we're like, you know,
yes.
six Coors Lights deep and we've had enough.
Yes.
And you know, like, and now it's like, you know, they're going to put him into golf prison. Like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Tiger Woods dropped the ball to gain an advantage when he was tied for the lead, admitted to it, and you had people apologizing for calling him out on it. Like, I don't understand what's going on with the golf people, but like certain guys could literally take a Dairy Queen dump in the hole on 18 and get away with it. But Phil has apparently rubbed guys the wrong way so badly that he's now public enemy number one on the greens.
I'm still visualizing the analogy.
So, look, I saw it pop up on my phone. I didn't read the whole story. I'm wondering, there had to be a sponsor involved, right? Like, someone must have put pressure on someone to say, well, we don't know if we're going to, you know, and then Phil apologized to keep the sponsor. Like, there had to be a business element to it.
I mean, the whole golf crew does take itself too seriously. Like, that is
the
obvious.
The culture is full of fake outrage now.
Of course. But I still think you should have been thrown off the course and thrown off the tournament. Like, all right, dude, you quit. You're done. Put it in your pocket. Go home.
I mean, 3 days after the tournament, he's still apologizing?
Here's the quote. I know this should have come sooner, but it's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed by my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry.
Matt in Framingham on my call screen puts Jack Nicholson for the subject. What do you got there, Murray?
Come on. Come up with a voice. Do it. What movies do you remember? I don't know. No, move on.
David Price playing Fortnite, though? That we have more of. That's coming next in the final word.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So only one piece of sound in the final word today, and that is a recap of some of the fun we had at the expense of one David Price who gave us content today.
I'm sorry, just let me ask you. So you've jumped on the headset with your boys?
Basically, yeah. I just did a virtual reality game with them the other night.
And this is what it sounds like?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep, I'm almost exactly.
Yeah, so Maz asked me during a commercial break, like, how did I know this stuff? Because he's like, do you play video games? And I have systems. I just really, I mean, they're collecting dust at this point. So I haven't played this game. So I just Googled Fortnite terms, and then I just put stuff together, and that's how I came up.
So I did a virtual reality game with my kids the other night, and my kids play all the time in Iran headsets, and I hear them talking to their friends on it.
Chirping.
Yeah. So, but with the way Murray, I mean, it was like...
David Price in the clubhouse with a headset on, talking to his teammates, playing Fortnite.
That is perfect.
What's happening here?
Anyway. Oh, you're a buzzkill, Johnny. Why are you going to keep asking the same dumb questions? I'm confident right now. I'm
two,
cool.
Two
for two. I'm just going to say a random date, first one that comes to my mind, kind of like when you spin a globe and you stop on a country with your finger, and that's where we decide to go on vacation. spin, Aruba.
This guy is—he's a child. He is. He's such a child.
Oh, what a martyr! Seriously, what a martyr!
I don't want to go. I just want to play Fortnite. I don't care about accolades or trophies or being an all-star. I just want to play some Fortnite because you told me I couldn't, and that's some time I could play Fortnite. In fact, let's play right now. Let me get my headset and put it.
Shield pop, I got you, Benny. You're no match for my skills, bro. I get 43 kills with this hand cannon, bro. I'm lethal with this Desert Eagle. Ain't no stopping me when I got this bitch.
Hold on, let me jump back on. Oh, I get to play?
All right, hell with the All-Star game. JBJ, why are you going to be such a bush camper, bro? Get out here and fight like a man. Kimbrel, I'm dead. You got to get over here and res me, bro, so I get back in the action. Come on, get me back in. I need to be res, bro.
That's unbelievable.
It was fun.
Res, man. You gotta res me.
That's short for resurrection. I gotta come back to life. Just making sure you know. Hold on. I want to play some more. Hold on.
Okay, we're back on. This chump just tried to turn on me with a 360 quick shot, but I just drop shotted him with this AK. Ain't nobody stopping me, bro. I'm a killing machine. Oh, look at me. Mow him down. Yo, Benny. Sweet kid. Quick scope kill, fam. There's nobody better with that sniper rifle. You can't be stopped. Oh, another kill. We're mowing them down. I get him to rage quit. Get him to rage quit. God, we're so good. What?
I don't want to pitch.
I'm playing. I'm playing video games, Skip. I'm playing Fortnite.
Best.
Oh, Murray, that is so good.
All right, price goes tonight.
Yay.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.